Hello and welcome to Columboys, the podcast all about the gritty, suspenseful, thrilling world of Lieutenant Columbo. I'm Mac, and joining me as always is Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Mac.
Hey, how's your quarantine going, Ben?
Yeah, it's still going.
It still is happening.
It has not endeavor.
It
How
has
about
not
yours?
Stopped. I will never stop. I don't know that I've ever left the house. I just recently, like a couple days ago, had the revelation that it's only been 2 months. It literally feels like I've been in quarantine for my entire life. Like 2 months is a long time, but honestly, like it was surprising to me to learn that it had only been 2 months.
Yeah, it is. It is an object lesson in how quickly we can.
I was
find
just thinking
the,
about.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about how like impossibly like. Specific this is as like a cultural time for right now, like the streaming and like all of these things and like these Zoom calls and like how many weird, awful, like capitalizing on the quarantine sitcoms there are gonna be, where it's like,
oh sure,
I got stuck with this guy during quarantine, but he's a big sloppy guy and I'm a neat
right.
guy, you know, like the
well,
Odd Couples
I mean,
but quarantine.
Yeah, I think we would see more of those if they could safely get away with shooting.
No,
them.
I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about like 5 years from now, or like whenever they end quarantine. Like we're gonna immediately get like 8 quarantine movies. I think.
Oh, are you just bracing in anticipation for the future quarantine version of The Big Bang Theory? Is that it?
I mean, I'm always ready for the second Big Bang.
That's
you know?
Fair. I mean,
you got to keep on top of it.
I'm a little sad you shared this with me because now the burden of this knowledge exists in my brain,
and now in the brains of our listeners. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, just that like there will inevitably be some. Odd Couple kind of quarantine. And that's probably what it'll be, is just a fucking reboot of The Odd Couple, but it's in quarantine because why would anybody try something original? But
you know, they already did a reboot of The Odd Couple like 2 years ago with Matthew Perry and
they'll
Tom
do
Lennon.
It again because it'll just be the before time and the after time. That's just how
that's
this
true.
Gets
that
marked.
Was in the before time.
Yeah.
So this week, let's get back to the episode. I love how we said we wanted to get this one over quickly and we've spent 5 minutes
and we haven't
even gotten past the written introduction. My God. This week, we're taking a look at Season 11, Episode 2, No Time to Die. This episode stars Peter Falk as James Bond, 007. No, it stars Peter Falk as Detective.
I would have fucking taken that. That would have been better.
It does share the name with the upcoming most recent James Bond movie.
Right.
Which, as of time of recording, is not out. I don't think it'll be out when this episode goes up either. I have no idea when it releases. Movies don't come out anymore. Who cares?
They hit theaters.
Give me a break.
Yeah. You know.
But this episode stars Peter Falk, who plays a detective who tries to track down his nephew's kidnapped bride. This episode is notable for being the only episode of Columbo that does not contain a murder, as well as the only episode to end with the death of the culprit.
Right.
Playing Columbo's nephew Andy Parma and his best man Dennis Mulrooney are actors Thomas Calabro and Doug Savant, who would later go on to star in Melrose Place, which would premiere a short 4 months later in July of 1992.
Hmm.
This episode also stars Dan Butler as another groomsman who, along with Andy and Dennis, is also an LAP detective. Uh-huh. Butler is most famous for playing Bulldog Briscoe on Frasier, and despite playing a aggressively heterosexual man, Butler came out as a homosexual in 1994 while the show was ongoing, being one of the first out openly, gay people on a major sitcom. So good for him.
Right on. And Frasier, no less.
And on Frasier, I know, it's surprising. Just as a side note, when I was writing the script, I originally wrote NYP Detective, but you'll understand why when you learn that this episode of Columbo started life as an 87th precinct novel,
yep.
by Ed McBain.
Mm-hmm.
There are 55 novels in the 87th Precinct series, and they all take place in a fictionalized version of New York City. And I think it's fair to say that this episode has heavy NYPD Blue vibes to it.
Oh yeah. Well, so I'm glad you mentioned it, because this is actually the stuff that I would rather talk about. No, seriously. Let's just cut to the chase. This is the most hated episode of Columbo in existence. Yeah. Like, it is, you could say it is controversial, but the fact of the matter is there are just plenty of people, myself included, who hate this episode.
Here's the thing. I'm gonna blow your goddamn mind here a minute. All right. I'm gonna wait then. I'm gonna blow your mind later.
Yeah, sure.
Put a pin in it. Your mind's gonna get blown.
No, probably not. Because here's the thing. It's not that it is a bad story or poorly shot or anything else. It's actually a really solidly made, like, cop film. It is not Columbo in any way.
It is 100% a standard early 90s thriller.
Yeah, well,
from top to bottom.
Yeah, so let me contextualize on that front. This came out the year after Silence of the Lambs. This is the first time that they went to McBain's 87th Precinct as a source
material.
And it is, by all accounts, essentially the exact same story beats and everything. And they just shoehorned a Columbo into it. Now, but outside of that, Silence of the Lambs came out the year before. And it's pretty obvious that some exec who is in the pipeline on this just went, oh, let's do something like that. Find me one.
And I mean, also, we've definitely talked about in the past the Silk Stockings, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I think
sort
that there's definitely was the thrillers were the thing. And NYPD Blue what am I trying to say? Law and Order. There
Law and Order. Yeah. Law and Order. I mean, Hill Street
much.
Blues. There's a lot of stuff. There actually was a show for like a year or 2 years called, I think, the 87th Precinct, which was based on the novels. So the novels are like, I just want to talk about Ed McBain or Evan Hunter or originally Salvatore Albert.
I'm very interested. This is probably the first time that Ben has come to the podcast as prepared as he is right now.
Well, it's just the thing of like, you know, I saw the name and the indicators in the credits that it was clearly based on a pre-existing story and then, you know, got modified, which is to say got shoehorned into Columbo. And
I'm not an expert on the source material, but I would guess that they just did a find and replace for whatever the detective's name, who was the main character, and put Columbo in there, because it's not particularly Columbo-y.
No, it's a little different in that, like, the main character, I think, in the original story is actually Columbo's nephew.
The groom?
Yeah. And so I think the rewriting might have been a tiny bit of split like that and a little bit of peppering in some Columbo-ish flavor.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're talking about an episode where Columbo strolls on the screen at the very end holding a gun.
Yeah.
You know, in basically the raid to catch the, you know, creepy kidnapper guy.
But he does look at the gun there is kind of a moment of him where he like looks at the gun like, I don't even know what I thought I was going to do with this thing when I came in here.
No,
so they do recognize that at least
they try to at least acknowledge it, even though it is kind of this egregious thing in an episode that just does not serve its core show.
Would you say that this is the first episode of Columbo where Columbo is actually the protagonist? Like the main character,
like
Columbo
the
is the
primary
of character
the
episode.
Through. Yeah,
I don't know that it's absolutely the first, but it's definitely it's definitely the most he's ever been centered.
Yeah,
in an
episode. So it's, I mean, he's on screen in like the first couple of seconds. It's so quickly, and he's always there, and there isn't a murder. It's a kidnapping, and it's a traditional structure.
He's the lead detective, even though it kind of mentioned in the on, but every like every yeah. character who isn't the murderer or the not the murderer but the kidnapper or the bride right. is a cop basically, except yeah. for like the witnesses.
Yeah,
but, yeah,
it's just oops, all cops.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, but again, and that has more to do with the source material than anything else. And that's right. I think that's the thing that I really want to separate is that the source material, like, is, you know, and I haven't read the stuff, and I'm sure there's plenty of stuff that, you know, is problematic now or whatever. Like, I'm not interested in
well,
getting
yeah,
into
that
discussion.
They were written they started being written in the 50s, and they're about cops, so yes,
one
I'm
was,
sure, 100%.
Right. This was published in 76, so I'm sure yeah. that it's full of, but my point about it is that it is just the, like, pulling a skin suit on something that it does not fit.
Yeah.
And that's like my huge beef with it. I spent most of it just being angry at how it just was not an episode of Columbo. We were just watching something totally different. and also something that, like, it's this whole wealth of things in that, like, you know, there's very obvious kind of big red herrings about, like,
right.
guys that Andy Parma has put away before and all this yep. other crap. But there is so much time spent menacing a woman. And that, yeah. and like, it's gross. And
that's probably the single the thing that happens the most in this episode.
There are
so many
sequences.
The kidnapper.
Where
threatens her.
Yeah, where, like, we are forced to be in this dingy room with yeah. Melissa Hayes, you know, with this obsessive, creepy stalker dude brandishing a fucking scalpel. And, like, it's horrible. And it's, like, and there's insinuated and almost overt sexual assault, you know? Like, it's almost yeah. there right as kind of, you know, the
it's
crisis
basically,
conclusion
it's basically
happens.
Imminent right when yeah. when the cops finally do show up.
They went so far, and again, Columbo, so think about how old people would be who are, like, Columbo stands in 1992 at this point. You know, probably not yeah. people who are like, oh, just what I want is a really disturbing series of imagery about sexual assault. You know, and it's like that last shot, he is like, got it. You know, they are yeah. in bed. He has got a scalpel out. The covers are over them. And it's not until she jumps out that we clearly see she's still got some kind of negligee on. But, like, yeah. he is sliding his hand down her body and makes a face that, like, for all intents and purposes, it reads like he has just put his hands on her genitalia. And I hate it so much.
Okay.
And that is,
well,
like,
we can just breeze by it. We don't have to actually dwell on it.
No, I mean, listen, the reason that I am bringing it up is because I want to yeah. make it clear. Don't watch this episode. It's not a Columbo mm. episode. If you want to watch, like, a gritty kind of cop procedural from the early 90s, great. This mm-hmm. is your jam. But if you're expecting Columbo, you're not really going to get it. You're going to get Peter Falk mm-hmm. putting in a really solid performance. You're going to get
Columbo. He's Columbo E. He's yeah. not necessarily Columbo.
Well, he's Peter Falk, so he's still watchable yeah. on the screen. Yeah. But, like, the actor who plays Andy Parma, I didn't really care for a whole lot. I didn't think sure. he was that great at it. I don't know what I can talk about in the episode. And that's part of why I wanted to talk about the guy who wrote the source material, because, like, there's a lot of good shit that came out of that. And that is real foundational work for all of, like, the big cop procedural shows that kind of came out in the last, you know, 30, 40 years easily. They're hugely influential, the 87th Precinct series. Like, and, mm-hmm. and then outside of that, he wrote the screenplay for The Birds, you know, like Alfred Hitchcock. No.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Birds. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess there's probably a Birds movie that is, you know, a Riff Trax feature, but I don't think it's called
I haven't actually ever seen Hitchcock's The Birds.
Yeah. It's
Hitchcock is one of those blind spots for me.
No,
where
that's fair.
It's like
it's
I don't
also,
have. I've never seen Psycho. I've never seen Rear Window is like the one that I've actually seen, which is great. I'm sure I would love it. I just haven't for whatever reason.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's worth your time. I haven't seen a ton of Hitchcock, but I think his
North by Northwest I've seen, and that was really good.
Rope is always the one that that I think is cool, just because they use camera tricks to present as if it is one continuous take. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I think that this is a perfectly acceptable thriller. And I think if you are a fan of the 90s and this sort of thing, it's fine to watch. I wouldn't say I'm not going to go out and say I love this episode or I hated it. I felt indifferent to it. The parts that were gross and sleazy were gross and sleazy in the way that all 1990s thrillers are. I mean, it's hard. This is a product of its time, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and like I said, I you know, Silence of the Lambs has.
Thank you for yes-anding me.
Yeah, well, it's just that. The thing I wanted to point out is that you had mentioned Silk Stockings, and one of the sort of seminal things in that level of Skinamax, shall we say, is that those are usually more like femme fatale stories, and they're all these, even though there's like sex and violence in them, they're all kind of focused on the male gaze, and focus on kind of a presentation for straight dudes. And when I say that, I mean like, it's like, oh, there's sexy times. And then, yeah, maybe a guy gets murdered, but the show knows what's up. Like, you still got to see sexy times. These aren't sexy times we see. They're just creepy, gross times that involve, you know, sex.
A mostly naked woman.
Right. And that's just generally not how a lot of the sort of, like, Silk Stocking stuff kind of went. And that's the distinction I wanted to make. You're right. This is absolutely in line with like early to mid 90s like thriller kind of stuff. And it's
a lot
good
of
at that.
There's a lot of straight to video that you know, like this is sort of where with a little more ambition and a little less production, you get a Samurai Cop from like this same sort of you know, it's the same sort of like feeling.
Where it's like,
it's like schlocky and bad. Like, we haven't even talked about, God, what's his name? The informant, the fatty.
Yeah, the guy whose name is literally a fat joke, Tubby Comfort.
Yeah, Tubby Comfort.
Tubby Comfort.
I said fatty when his name is the.
No,
much nicer.
He says it about
Tubby.
Himself. Like, he. Yeah. That scene opens basically with Mr. Comfort making
a bunch of fat jokes. Essentially
a
Sydney Greenstreet impression.
Yeah.
Like, going like, oh, you're very funny, Mr. Columbo.
Yeah, it's like...
Except he's talking to Butler, the sergeant. He's not.
Yeah, the sergeant who just comes in and is like, cut the fat jokes. Let's just get to let's get to business. And again, it's like, that scene is amazing for so many reasons, and
any excuse to bring out my Sydney Greenstreet, I'm very happy for. You know, it's not an impression you get to pull out a lot.
That's fair. It's pretty rare that anybody might actually know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, certainly I barely know what I'm talking about. As far as the actual like mystery, it's basically just spending time trying to figure out who this guy is.
Yeah,
it's not like breaking an alibi. They just need to know who this guy is, and it just takes time to figure out who he is. Well, like, there's nothing tricky about it. They just need to like track down all of the things to figure it out.
Yeah, well, and so that's again, I mean, that's one of the things that McBain is credited for is mixing his sort of fantasy novels with real life and kind of the real, you know, like, and so having sort of cop, you know, process be part of the story. And this is really good at that. It's not normal for Columbo, and it's not even an attempt at subverting the format. No. It literally is just a different format.
Yeah. It's not the same show. It is just like we had to make three episodes this season. And so we pulled a script off the shelf or a book off the shelf and did it. And I'm guessing maybe Peter Falk is a fan of this series. Like that would make sense. Sure. He would certainly be in the age group to be a fan of this.
Look, lots of people are fans of this stuff. Stephen have you, King have, I'm, credits him.
Have you
as
read one of these? Or?
I have not.
Okay.
But the McBain like was a familiar name. And then when I saw the name of the series.
Do you know if the Simpsons named the fake Arnold Schwarzenegger McBain after?
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
Like I think that's probably a guarantee. I don't know because I don't know the people who made The Simpsons. Maybe it's in a commentary track from the early episodes with that, but I don't know where those DVDs are. DVDs, what a weird artifact of the past.
I know.
That's
the only thing I think that we've lost from losing DVDs is commentary tracks. I don't think anything else of value has been lost, really. Value is a marginal term in most cases.
I feel like, I know we're on a tangent, but we've already talked about this episode.
Well, whatever.
No, I mean, seriously, it's like, you don't get enough
Patrick
information.
Patrick Swayze's brother is in it for a minute, so that's kind of cool. You get to see a guy and you're like, is that Patrick Swayze? No, he looks weird. And that's because he's Patrick Swayze's brother.
Yeah, and they just hired him to be a two-bit thug and so that he can, breathe heavy and angrily at a guy who is up in his face. And it's just like, two guys get mad at each other and almost kiss. And, and it's like, that's part of the red herring chase.
Now you're talking my language.
Well, that's a different kind of series, like, I really, because it is, you're just following along the trail. And there's that weird thing about, like, the timestamps, where they use that old school faux digital font. Put the timestamp on the screen. Yeah.
And there's a typewriter. It's a typewriter font because there's typing every time it comes out.
Okay.
So.
That's, I always associated that with a certain era of quote unquote the digital world from kind of like late.
No, I think it's meant to be like old school detective y typewriter precinct 85 kind of stuff.
Yeah, that would be more sensible than how I interpreted it. When we finally get flashbacks from Melissa or whatever, and then when she wakes up and there's interaction with the weirdo, I think is how they call him.
And I think that's fair. Listen, we talk about sensitivity, but I think generally that's fair. This guy's weird. He wants to kidnap and murder and marry and murder someone. He's weird.
Because his father cut his mom's throat in an argument when he was 8 and then cut his own throat in front of his 8-year-old son. It's like, it's nice that we have Proto Dexter here.
If we can't agree that the guy who wants to do that is weird, then where are we as a society? That's what I'd like to ask.
Thank you for taking a stand on these tough issues, Mac.
Listen, if nobody else is willing to say it, I'm willing to say it. But it's fun. One thing I wanted to mention on that, speaking of weirdo, is in his college yearbook, they track him down. They blow up a picture of him touching something where his hand is extended, and it very clearly just took a very close up picture of the guy's hand. You can see the guy's pores. Mm-hmm. It's way too close.
Yeah, that's not
when they
how
blow it up.
Film would have
that's
worked.
Not how film works. I mean, it's not how film works now, and photos are so much more high resolution. But
enhanced.
It's very much an enhanced moment.
Yeah.
But they find this guy's yearbook photo, and then he was voted most likely to cut up his friends, and they're like, "Oh my God, he's clearly a psycho." Yeah, and I'm I don't think that's how yearbook honors are actually awarded.
No, it's great because it's like, here we found him. Oh, he's pre-med, voted most likely to dissect a friend. I feel like maybe somebody at the college should have caught that. Also, yeah. Can I?
If that's playful, it's weird. And if it's not playful, it's a real, like, what's going on at the editorial board of this yearbook.
That's a huge red flag. Why did nobody follow up on this? You know, but there's like the amazing bit where, like, they go to the college finally after, because, like, early on when we don't see his face or anything, his class ring is extremely visible, like, enough that it's like it's clearly a tell where you're like, oh, that's gonna mean something. And and so when they go to the college and they're talking to the headmaster, and he's basically just like, what the fuck are you, like, I can't help you out with this, there's so many people, like, thousands and thousands of people have these class rings. And they're like, he kidnapped a wife's cop. And then he's like, oh, go to the library, that's where our yearbooks are.
Like he kidnapped a wife's cop.
Yeah, a wife's cop. Which is cop's what, wife. Is what you what said. It's all the same.
That's my wife's cop.
Yeah. But it's just goddamn.
Yeah. It says go to the library, which is always funny to hear from a dean.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man.
Yeah. Most likely to dissect a friend. I wrote that specifically down. And then, like, and there's like the whole sequence where, like, it is a parade, ostensibly, because we only ever see like two of the cop cars, speeding to the guy's house to try and catch him, before he kills Melissa or whatever.
Hard-nosed chief is like, we're going to bust the door down. We're going to take this punk down. Right. Sending in the SWAT team.
Yeah. And Columbo is like, hey, some of these guys are rookies and like are probably going to get themselves killed. Like, maybe turn the sirens off and let me go in first. And it's like,
yeah.
And he acquiesces eventually.
But
his
plan,
like,
is to like get a small team to go in first.
Yeah.
And which I think means that Columbo's plan is what happens in the show, which is that Andy, cop Andy, barrel rolls through a window.
Oh, did Andy come through the window? I thought it was
Andy
his
came
friend.
Through the no. Andy comes through the window because
somebody
because
like,
he's got the leather jacket on
through it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's fucking
he's got the
insane.
Leather jacket on, which is the tell, and he like barrel rolls through the window and like
and
pops
lands
up.
By the door. Right?
Yeah, he like well no he lands like at the foot of the bed. I think.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It is a very long traversal, and like and it's just it, like the scene is. You know, like quick cuts so that they can have like her dashing out of the bed, Rudy Strasse, the creep, slashing the scalpel he has towards her, and Andy putting like what an entire revolver into him.
Yeah, he just lights him up in the bed. Yeah. It's like pretty close to an execution. I mean, certainly. The police have shot people for less than wielding a scalpel at them.
Oh,
but,
there's much worse stuff. But it is, it happens so quickly. And then the captain, you know, is just like, yeah, we're all clear in here. And then Columbo, like, he looks at his gun, like, in that puzzled sort of, you know, as you say. And again, he's holding the gun. And then and then he asks what time it is. And it's not...
That's the end of the episode.
It just so that's where the credits pop up, and then it fades, and then when it comes back, it plays Rudy Strasse's quote unquote favorite music, which is like a hack job clone of some John Philip Sousa bullshit.
Well, he says, "What time is it?" They freeze frame, do the thing they've been doing with the typewriter
noise. Tack 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 time,
tack tack tack
time
tack.
Of day. Yeah,
and it's. It's so weird and comes out of nowhere. And it's not like Columbo has the entire episode had a broken watch. I also am pretty sure the line is 80 yard because I looked and Columbo's mouth did not
doesn't.
Move.
Yeah. Well, like there's a scene after the wedding reception when the newlyweds are walking towards the elevator to go up to their hotel room. And everyone is singing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. And it's
no, he does say it. I just watched it again. I'm sorry.
Oh,
please
no,
don't write in. Please don't write in.
Yeah.
He's going up. They're singing. He's a Jolly Good Fellow.
And that's all ADR. Because if you watch their mouths, like they're definitely all carousing and singing and making noise. But that is not what's happening, and certainly not in sync with the audio.
Well, that's because they had to backfill a justification for why Andy is singing "I'm a Jolly Good Fellow" in the shower.
There's a lot of weird garbage along those lines. But,
I'm a jolly good fellow.
But so,
so
as much as I dunk on all of that stuff, the things I want to say is I actually felt like it was well scored for what it was and reasonably shot.
It's well,
for a TV movie with a budget, you know, like
it's competent. Whether or not you like the content of what it is, it's a well-made version of what it wanted to be.
Yeah.
The performances are all really good. I think the performance is good. I know you don't like Andy, but I think that's just a taste thing.
That's not. Yeah, I don't think he's actually a bad actor. It's just one of those things where I'm just kind of this is not doing
as a douchebag like cop newlywed. He's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah,
he's Columbo's first ever on screen relative.
I think so.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I mean, we've seen a picture of pictures of Columbo's family member. This is the first . Definitely someone is related to Columbo.
Yeah. So where I think this falls down is when I went digging, let me tell you, the original story is called So Long As You Both Shall Live.
Wow. That's much better
novel.
Name. That's a and much that, better name, honestly, for what's happening.
I agree. And it was published in 76, but it is like in the 30s as far as the numbers of these novels. And so the cop whose wife gets kidnapped is like a storied character in the 87th precinct. So that's another thing that makes this kind of fall down in Columbo is it's like, we don't give a shit about his nephew.
Right.
And this story was written around you already being bought in to kind of the lead cop.
Yeah. This definitely feels like a middle point of a series.
Yeah.
Like this would be a season finale. Now.
Yeah.
I just realized that I think the time thing is No Time to Die. I think what the time thing is.
That's their hook.
A pun for no, like some sort of pun joke for no, it doesn't make any sense, but I think that's gotta be the only explanation.
No, you're right.
What time is it? It's No Time to Die.
Time to die. No. It's no time,
no
to,
time
lose,
sir.
To die. Don't
no,
go dying
no time
on us
to,
now. You
no
just
time
got
to
married.
Lose, sir.
Yeah. It's I'm exhausted by it. I love Columbo's tux.
Which
love
he wears
that he
basically
actually
the entire
like
the entire episode.
Yeah, he wears like the shirt under like he's wearing it for the remainder. I mean, because it's happening over the span of like a day and a half tops. It's not very long.
I think it's less than 24 hours.
It is.
Because they catch him, like, and it's still daytime, and she was kidnapped at night after the wedding.
Yeah,
so.
They catch him, and it's, I don't know, Monday afternoon, but it's before, like, 3 whatever, which is ostensibly when he was going to start. But, yeah, he got fired from his job just in time to catch her before she escaped.
Yeah.
You know. It's, again, it's competent. It just... It doesn't, it's not Columbo. That's really what it comes down to. And that annoyed the hell out of me watching it.
I can tell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's, yeah, I showed up for Columbo.
Yeah.
Not this.
Well, this is an episode of Columbo.
It's not though.
Yeah, but I mean, it is though. It's on IMDb, so would IMDb has IMDb ever been wrong about anything?
Yes, it's really easy to put bullshit up on IMDb.
No, name one.
I have friends who have literally padded their resumes.
It's your, I mean, it's in your Columbo box set, and that is incontrovertible. The Japanese makers of your DVD box set.
Listen, it's in
believe
any
that it
box
is a Columbo
set of this season of Columbo. I know that. I know. And again, this guy, like one of the other novels from the series, I think the original title is King's Ransom, is the story that got adapted by Kurosawa into High and Low, which is like one of his most famous films. I mean,
that's interesting.
Granted, most of his films are pretty famous. You know, Rashomon, Seven Samurai, Yojimbo. Yeah, nobody knows those.
We can all name films.
I just mean those are the ones that people know from Kurosawa. Sorry.
The good news is that this is the only one of these books that's adapted into a Columbo, and they do it again.
It's not.
It does not happen again. Ben, you're not supposed to look forward. That's cheating.
It happened by accident. I wasn't digging for that. I just, it was mentioned, and I saw that the year was later and went, well, oh, shit.
Yeah. That one is actually a lot closer to the standard Columbo. It's more of a mystery, and it's less of a ticking clock situation.
Sure. Well, and again,
it's very different. And it also does sort of have that feeling of like, who are all of these minor characters that are being introduced who don't matter? And it pays a lot more attention to the precinct, to the people back at the station.
Yep. Well, again, and that makes sense knowing the source material, but like not having and that also context, that, it's so
that was
weird.
100% what shows were doing at the time. Like every cop show was about the cops. Like that's what those shows were. Columbo, you know, when Columbo came out, shows like Dragnet and that kind of thing were the cops were the regulars, but like you would never see like an episode of Dragnet was never about Friday.
Right.
Never. It like you didn't know.
Yeah, it was about
when
the case,
Friday took off his
about
badge and went home. He didn't exist. Yeah. Like there's no case where Friday's like, oh man, my wife's really riding me. And then later it's like, oh, I'm getting a divorce because I'm having such trouble with my wife.
I mean, that's,
which is all that cop shows are now. That's like 100% of what they are now.
Well, like, and that's, isn't that part of the joke when they made the I guess it's the late 80s, early 90s Dragnet film with Hanks and Aykroyd about Friday being like the super uptight, has no life outside of, you know, being like, they poke fun at some of those elements of things like Dragnet. But
that was just the way cop shows and cop procedurals were at the time.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, at least it won't be this one. I can put this away. And
you never have to watch this episode of Columbo ever again if it makes you feel better.
That's true. And I probably won't watch it anytime soon. You know, I mean,
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mess. Tux is good. Credit to Andy at the wedding for being in a proper white tie.
Yeah.
Because he is in actual white tie, and it is correct. And then Melissa's father, Mr. Hayes, when Columbo has to go talk to him in the ass early morning,
his little smoking jacket thing,
his dressing gown, his like silk like purple, I think it's like a self-tone kind of paisley pattern on that silk thing, that's very good. I really liked Bill Bailey's sleep shirt. Bill Bailey is the janitor who is in the restaurant kitchen,
not the musical comedian Bill Bailey, who is not in this episode.
No, you would recognize him. He has never changed that hair of his.
Speaking about the wedding, Columbo gives what I would say is a very strange and sweet, but very strange toast, where he says like, if my sister and your father were still alive today, they'd say that Ben, it's not a secret in my private life, and so I'm just gonna say Ben is going to be my best man at my wedding when it eventually happens, after after the back scene in the after times, should they ever come. I hope when you do that you give me the exact, like, I would love it if for your best man speech you just gave me the Columbo from No Time to Die speech, like
in front of your parents.
No preamble. If your parents were alive today.
Yeah. Well, I'll remember
it would involve watching some of this episode.
No one has asked me to do this before, and I feel like after your wedding, everyone will understand why that is.
No.
So I hope you're ready for it.
What? Are you an especially bad best man? Is that?
I've never.
Are you
been
secretly
one,
the
so
worst? Are you secretly the worst man?
You are rolling the dice, my friend. You have known me long enough that you should be very suspicious.
I know at the very least you'll be well dressed. So that is that's all I can hope for. You'll be, and I definitely won't be. So
you say that, but we'll see. Yeah. No. The summary is, I think if you understand that this isn't really a Columbo episode and that it is more of just a cop kind of procedural thriller, you will have a much better time with it. Because again, I think there's a difference between it being a bad episode of Columbo and being bad television or a bad film. And that's part of probably what makes this
I think there's like legit interesting cinematography in this. Like it moves and it has like emotion, and there's like good scene. The scene where Columbo, there's a very loud, commotion as they're trying to like find the girl, and then Columbo is on the phone with the boss of the guy, the kidnapper, and he says, "You know him," and then like the entire room like gets silent and looks at him. Really well done. I would say on balance, probably don't watch this one. I know I came out defending it earlier, but like my defense is only that it's fine.
Yeah.
It's perfectly fine.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is it's like, cause I feel like, you know, as a part of the overall series, it has no business being there, but again, like knowing sort of that, like, McBain's novels were a real big influence on culture in kind of post-war world. So it's not to say that like I think the source material is bad or anything else like that or wasn't, you know, quality.
It's just not Columbo.
It got shoehorned into this.
It ain't Columbo.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for this week.
Oh, thank God.
This has been Columbo.
I mean, not the conversation. That's great. I just mean we don't have to talk about this fucking episode anymore.
Yeah. So that'll do it. But I have to start over now.
I know.
That'll do it for this episode. This has been Columbo. I'm Mac.
I'm Ben.
And just one more thing.
Yeah?
What time is it?
Columboys is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at DandyGeek. The Columboys theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.